Glory.
If you haven't figured out, we like to have fun in church. You know, the things of God are holy.
Yes.
They're to be revered and honored. And yet, Jesus was so joyful when he was here on this earth.
Amen.
Right? We see the little children just wanting to run to him and sit in his lap and be with him. Mm-hmm. You know, kids are pretty good judges of character. They don't just run up to anybody and ask to be in their lap.
That's right.
Yeah. I was ministering last year at a women's conference, and a very good friend of mine was the pastor, and she had a grandbaby. He was two. I think he's two. And at the end of our service, he came in, you know, from the nursery, and he came running up to me, and he just went like this, you know, and it just melted my heart. And I picked him up, and he melted into me. And Pastor Dave, the pastor there, he said, because I melted, you know, he melted into me and I melted into him, you know, this little two-year-old that never met me before and just boom. And Pastor Dave said, you know, he loves the anointing.
Wow.
And he said, you know, because when they have different ministers come in, that he would run up to these complete strangers to him. And he said, you know, we just had so-and-so come, you know, last month, and he did the same thing. He just, as soon as they were done with the service, he went up. He wanted to be a part of that. What is that? Kids recognize that anointing and that presence. Well, the point is that there's joy there. We don't have to be so super serious and be like, well, I don't know about that. I don't, you know, we have to learn to, we receive in joy,
yes.
You know,
yes.
It's okay to laugh. It's okay to enjoy him, to enjoy his one another.
Yes. Yeah.
These are things we need to learn and not just be so rigid with what we think we know.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's all for free. Glory to God. Would you turn with me this morning to 2 Peter? Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
He's so good.
Yes.
His anointing is so so real. His presence is so real. And we want to learn how to participate with his presence.
Yes.
Is a great way to say it. There's a back and forth with him. You know, when we come to a service, one of the reasons that you hear people responding in a service is because we want to participate with what's being preached, you know, and our response is a way to participate. It's a way to be involved in the service. And so we don't get distracted when people are participating, but we lock into the words that are being ministered, and we start to participate ourselves, and we start to respond back, and that participation allows God to kind of just move in and invade and enlighten us in some things.
Yes.
And so 2 Peter, we'll start in chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours,
yes,
by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Savior.
Amen.
we've been looking at this for a couple weeks now, and we said, I mean, just these first two verses are amazing. First of all, Peter says that he's writing to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. So many people believe that Peter, who was one of the 12, yeah, right? People believe that some of the disciples of the early church, or maybe Paul, or you know, different ones, they believe that they were in a super apostle class. You know, like they were way up here because they knew Jesus. And the rest of us could never get to the part, to the same place as they were. But Peter says right here, he's writing to people who have obtained, yes, a faith of equal standing.
Right, yeah, amen.
And we said this, it's not what we do that puts us in equal standing with those like Peter and those who knew Jesus.
Yeah.
It's what Jesus did, glory, yes, to God,
amen,
that puts us raised up, seated together with him in heavenly places. That puts us in equal standing. And he says, those of us who have reached that equal standing, anyone who's a believer in Jesus, anyone who's received Jesus as Lord, they have become righteous. They've been made righteous. They're in equal standing, glory to God, in faith. And so he says this, he says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you.
Yes. Multiplied.
That's good,
amen,
right there, right?
Amen.
So Peter's prayer, or his decree, or you could even say his command, was grace, peace, be multiplied.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good thing to say. We're just talking in our offering time about confessing some things that the word says, you know, saying what God says. What if we woke up in the morning and said, today, grace and peace,
yes,
are multiplied,
yes,
to me.
Yes.
Ha ha!
Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen.
That means today I can walk in more grace.
Yes.
Today I can walk in more peace, yes, than I did yesterday.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
The thing is with these verses, we can get excited about the first part of the verse, but there's always a second part of the verse.
Yeah.
Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So we can wake up in the morning and claim, thank you, Lord, for more grace and more peace.
Yes.
But it's going to come through more knowledge.
Yes. That's right.
I mean, if we refuse to look in the Word, if we refuse to hear what He says, if we refuse to make make the adjustments that are necessary to conform to His Word.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to have difficulty walking in more grace.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
That,
amen,
you know, you're like, oh man, I just like the first part, grace and peace. Well, we want all that God has for us, right? I want it all, and so if that means some change on my part, so be it.
That's right.
That's part of my Christian life. It is change, you know. So it's just what we do. It's what we are. We're a being that is constantly being tweaked. Right?
Amen.
And so we don't get tired of hearing some things, and we'll see where we get this morning. Let's just say, remember how much fun we had in the offering when we laughed, okay? Glory to God. But I just wanted to mention that these first two verses kind of set us up for what he goes on to say. He wants grace and peace to be multiplied to us, but it comes through knowledge. It comes through And don't get me, it's not just intellectual knowledge, right? It's not just memorizing verses or memorizing things about God. But it's the knowledge, it's getting His word in us and allowing it to transform us. That's what He's talking about when He says knowledge. And He goes on to kind of explain what kind of knowledge we need by saying this, verse 3, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Again, he says, through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Now, Peter in the first verse talked about how we've obtained a faith of equal standing as Peter's, like we're in the same standing in class as Peter, but now he's saying that we've been called to God's own glory and excellence.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Peter in just three verses has upped the game a little. Not just we're not just disciple level, like, you know, 12 disciple level. Now we're in God's realm.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
His divine power has granted to us all things.
All things.
All things.
All things.
Wow. Sounds like I'm well supplied, right?
Yeah.
He supplied all my need, right?
Yeah.
His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to our life and to godliness.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Again, though, it comes through the knowledge of Him.
That's right. Yeah.
Through our knowledge of the Word, through our knowledge of His presence and His Spirit that lives on the inside, through our participating with Him.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Amen.
So we participate, we can gain access to all the things that God has for us through this knowledge of Him.
Yes.
Through this participation, this relationship with Him and His Word.
Amen.
Wow.
Wow.
By which, in verse 4, it says, He has granted to us His precious and very great promises. So that through them, through these promises, what are His precious and very great promises? Well, everything He said in this word, right? This word is just one giant book of greatness. that He's provided and shows us who we are and what we have in Him. This book are His promises, and then things that He's prompted and spoken to us individually through His Spirit. Those are great promises. Those are things that He said He's made available for us that we can step out in faith on. Very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of His divine nature. Oh, wow. Thank you, Father. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. The world is trapped. The people in this world, they're trapped by their own lusts. The Bible says their own sinful desires. The enemy has them bound, blinded, and they can't really help themselves but do what their sin nature would pull them to do.
Sure.
But those in Christ, we've been made a new creature. We've been created to be like Him.
Yes.
Yes.
To partake of His divine nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're so different. We're so different.
Yeah.
It's like night and day, right?
Yeah.
He's brought us out of darkness and put us into light.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Glory to God. But it all comes through this knowledge. Verse 5 says this, for this very reason, what reason? That we've been granted all these things that pertain to life and godliness, and we need some knowledge of him so that we can partake of his divine nature, and we can access all these things that he has for us. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. We said this, supplement, we use the word sometimes, when we think of that word supplement, I think of vitamins, right? Or minerals, or extra added things that you might buy at the grocery store, like pills to swallow or whatever you put in your drink, or I don't know, to add to the nutrients that you may or may not be getting in your food, right? Right? You need to supplement. So Peter's saying, guys, you know, there's some great things that God has for us. He wants you to be a partaker of his divine nature. But because of this, we need to make an effort on some things. There are some things that you as a believer are going to have to do to add to your faith.
Yes.
If you want to partake of his grace the way he wants you to, right? If you want to have grace and peace multiplied to you, there is going to be a little bit of effort on our part. We can't just float through life and just, you know, because some people will say, well, everything that happens is just God. You know, God, if he wants it to happen, it's going to happen. If he doesn't want it to happen, it's not going to happen. And we have nothing to do with it. Not according to the Bible. We are to actually make every effort. There's something we do. You know, if I'm going to put effort into something, you know, you've ever heard the phrase, use some elbow grease? What? You're really going to work hard at it. Praise the Lord. Well, I feel like I'm really working hard at this. So make every effort to supplement your faith.
Yes.
Uh-oh. So there's other things we have to do besides just have faith in God.
Yeah,
there is. But the things he says here that we've been reading, they're so interesting. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. And virtue with knowledge. And knowledge with, self-control.
Yes.
And self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection.
Yes.
And brotherly affection with love. These are some very interesting character traits or characteristics that we're supposed to be making effort to add to our lives and to our faith. And we've been looking at this for a couple of weeks now, and we haven't got past virtue. Number one.
Yeah.
But we're going to stick here until we're released to move on. That word virtue, as we've been saying, if you look it up in the Greek, really it means excellence or moral excellence, actually, is more... What do we mean? Excellence on the inside. What's moral excellence?
Yes.
There's something about your insides that stands up straight for morality, right? For what you believe in, what you know is right.
Yes.
There's a rightness about your walk and who you are. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Moral excellence, virtue. We don't use this word virtue very much in our English vocabulary anymore. When I think of this, I think of the word integrity.
Yeah. Amen. Integrity.
Integrity. We are to make every effort to add to our faith. What's our faith? Simply believing what God has said, right? We are to make every effort to add to our faith integrity. And that's something that's all, I don't want to say it's difficult to be taught, but you almost have to be around other people of integrity to observe
yes.
and mold and adapt your life
Yes.
To become like them.
100%. Yeah, 100%.
If that makes sense.
Yes, ma'am.
Another reason why the local church is so extremely important.
Yes.
Because we need to be molding and modeling that which Christ wants for our next generation to see.
Yes. Amen.
It's so important. These things, you can read these things in the Word, and yes, God can reveal some things to you, but it helps so much. I mean, my husband and I, we've been connected with those who God has placed us with, and we stick to them like glue.
Amen.
Right? Because it's more than just their preaching and teaching we need. We need their character. We need their example in our lives to keep our backbone straight.
That's right. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Right. Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Integrity.
Yeah, that's great.
Yes.
Integrity. Doing what's right when no one else will.
Amen.
Standing straight and making the right decision even if no one's looking.
Right.
Doing the right thing. Last week, we looked at Joseph. My goodness. You know, if all we do is review,
we'll be in the same place
next week. Praise God. But it's so important. So let's just go to Genesis 39. Praise the Lord. There are other people in the scriptures that we will get to and look at. This is so important, and I honestly don't care if we're here on excellence for 12 weeks. This is, it's so important. It's so important because the world lacks this, I mean, majorly lacks integrity and excellence.
Yes, yes, yes.
They let anything slide and decide, well, it's okay. No one's watching. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. It's just, it's only affecting me. And that's so not true. And so most of us know about Joseph, right? He was, as a young teen or a teenager, he was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was sent to Potiphar's house and became a slave. And as a slave in his master's house, he was so excellent. He was so full of integrity, and he was so meticulous at how he behaved that he rose to the top of the ranks in Potiphar's house.
Yes.
Amen. Yes.
As a slave, he didn't have an attitude of, I shouldn't be here. I was a free person just 2 weeks ago, 1 month ago. I want my daddy. I want my mama. You know, he didn't do any of that. He just said, all right, if I'm here, we're going to rise to the top. And he did.
Yes.
And we see here that in verse 3, it says, his master saw that the Lord was with Joseph and that the Lord caused all that Joseph did to succeed in his hands. Listen, if you want God to bless your life, you better learn to be excellent with what God gives you.
Amen.
With what God gives you now, be excellent with it, and he can bless it and raise you up.
That's right.
Yes,
amen.
That's how God works.
Amen.
Yes. We need to make every effort to add to our faith excellence.
Yes.
Oh.
Amen.
I'm preaching to me today. Amen. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made and the Potiphar made him overseer of his whole house and put him in charge of all that he had. And we go on, and for time's sake, Potiphar's wife notices, the Bible says that Joseph was handsome. He was a good-looking guy. And Potiphar's wife starts making advances on Joseph. And in verse 8, it says, of course, Potiphar's wife said, lie with me. And in verse 8, it says, he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house. And he's put everything that he has in my charge.
Mm.
He's not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, after day, after day, after day, after day, he would not listen to her. We said this before. I mean, he's in his young 20s. Right? Mid-20s? Prime of life for a young man, right? We've got hormones going, and you've got somebody day after day after day inviting you into their bedroom? My goodness. He would not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. And one day when he went into the house to do his work, none of the men of the house were there in the house, and she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. Wow. Excellence.
Excellent.
Integrity.
Yeah.
Morally right. He told his master's wife, "Listen, my master's given me charge of everything in the house. There's nothing in this house that he's withheld from me except you." But here's the thing. When I invite somebody or I have a guest come stay at my house, when they come in, I'll show them the guest room. This is where you can stay. You make yourself at home. Anything in the house is yours. Just go for it. Go ahead. I don't say, "Except my husband, you can't have him." Right? Has anyone ever done that when they've invited a guest in their home? "You can have everything except my husband." So when Joseph says, "My master has given me charge of, he's given me everything in his house is mine except for you," Potiphar never verbally said that to him. But Joseph had enough moral uprightness on the inside of him to realize, "You're his wife. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. No matter how many times you ask me, no matter how many times you beg, and even if you grab me, I'll run before I succumb."
Praise the Lord.
Proverbs 30. Oh, it's going to be good today. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm not preaching these things because I think anyone's in a moral problem or having trouble or anything like this. But why am I doing this? Because we are to make every effort to add to our faith virtue. And if we don't know what virtue looks like, what it's supposed to stand for, what it is, and how important it is, we'll never be able to add it to our faith. And you can't tell me, "Well, I'll just know." No, the world is constantly pressing on us to lower our standards.
That's right. It is.
You turn on 100%. Any TV show. I love a good rom-com. I'm okay with sitting there and watching, a Hallmark movie, whatever it is. But they're constantly trying to get you to lower your standards.
Yes.
Hollywood, anyone. They're trying to get you to think, "Well, it's okay to hop in bed with somebody and then get married maybe later."
Right.
It's not okay.
It's just not okay.
It's not okay to lie with the master's wife and pretend that it didn't happen.
That's right.
It's not okay. Well, we know the end of the story for Joseph. He wound up in prison because the wife lied. But integrity didn't complain. He might have tried to stand up for his rights, but as a slave, you don't have very many rights. What did he do? He just said, "All right, well, if I'm here in prison, God, you and I, we're just going to be excellent."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he rose to the top of the prison.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one day was in charge of the country.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
Proverbs 30. Verse 20. This is the way of an adulteress. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done no wrong. I like Proverbs. You know, when I first got saved and read Proverbs, I was like, oh, come on. Wow. This, I mean, black and white. It's either right or it's wrong. You know, there's not a whole lot of gray area, gray matter in Proverbs. The adulteress does her deed, wipes herself off and says, oh, that was nothing. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. The problem is I hear people say that, maybe not about adultery, but about other things. They might cheat, they might lie, and think, well, it was really nothing. It's no big deal. I'll just preach to me. But the thing is, if we want our faith to work, if we want to participate in all the things that God has for us that pertain to life and godliness, we've got to add to our, I have to add to my faith some moral excellence.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
I have to live a life of integrity. That means what I say is what I mean, and it's what I do.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Am I perfect at this? No, I am not perfect at this, but I am striving to be excellent.
Amen.
Yes.
And if I say something and don't follow through, you better expect an apology coming from me. Right. Like, I forgot about that. I didn't get to that. I am sorry. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Why? Because that matters. That affects my faith.
Yeah.
It affects my believing God.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
So the adulterous woman, why don't you turn to Proverbs 6? She does her deed and then thinks, I've done nothing wrong. It's no big deal. It's not a problem. I called in sick to work, and you know, but I wasn't really sick, but I needed the day off. But it's no big deal. You can call and ask for work, and if they give you sick days, say, I mean, work it out with your boss. Figure out a way to take the days that are owed you without saying, just, I don't feel good today. Why? Because you're undermining your faith, your walk with God.
Yes.
And you might say, well, it's just no big deal. Everybody does it. The world does it. The world does it. Yes, everybody in the world does it. But we are not of this world. We are to be different than the world. And how does the world see that difference? Your integrity.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
That's good.
Proverbs 6, is that where I told you to go?
Yay.
Oh, everybody say, I love you, Pastor Amy.
I love you, Pastor Amy.
Hallelujah. Okay, we are going to go to some of my favorite verses in Proverbs. And I just read them once in a while, not because I've ever been tempted to go this direction, not because I ever believe I will be tempted, but just to fortify myself.
Amen.
Proverbs 6, verse 32. He who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. He will get wounds and dishonor, and his disgrace will not be wiped away. Ooh. That's some serious stuff right there. You think, Pastor Amy, why are we talking about adultery? Because the Bible talks about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if we'll get some of these bigger things straight, it will help us recognize some of the littler things.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
True.
If we'll draw a line and say, well, I would never be caught in adultery, so why would you lie? Why would you steal? Right?
Yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord. He who commits adultery lacks sense.
Yes.
That Proverbs. I love it. I love it. You lack sense. What were you thinking?
Yeah.
Right? What were you thinking?
Yeah.
You lack sense. There's not much up here.
Yeah.
It's going to destroy yourself. You'll get wounds, and worst of all, dishonor. And your disgrace will not be wiped away.
That's right.
Chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister.
Yes.
And call insight your intimate friend. To keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words.
Yes.
For at the window of my house, I've looked out through my lattice, and I've seen among the simple, I've perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. And behold, the woman meets him dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She's loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, and in every corner she lies in wait. What is that? Sin is everywhere trying to tempt us.
Yes.
She seizes him and kisses him, and with bold face she says to him, I've offered sacrifices and today I've paid my vows. What's that? I've done my religious duty. So now I've come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I've found you. I've spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband, hello.
Oh boy.
My husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him at full moon. He will come home, which with much seductive speech she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter. Or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. And now, O sons, listen to me and be attentive to my words and my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for many a victim she has laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to hell.
Wow.
Going down to the chambers of death. Yikes. Now, when we read stuff like this, I mean, in Proverbs, you normally get like one or two verses that go together, and then it goes on to a new thought, right?
Yeah.
That's what a Proverbs is. It's just a little chunk of wisdom, a little bit, a little sound bite, so to speak, of a phrase, a saying. But here we have more than an entire chapter talking about this temptress, adulteress, I just like to say the enemy or sin. Because sin is in the world is constantly trying to get us to lower our standards and say, like we saw in Proverbs 30, it's no big deal.
Right.
I've done nothing wrong. And so, yeah, we, hopefully none of us here are on the verge of adultery, right? I'm just gonna put that out there and assume that, right? Yes. If you are, you lack sense.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
But the Bible, Peter told us, we need to make every effort to add to our faith a moral backbone.
Yeah.
And that means that which tempts us, right?
Yes.
Those things that our personality might pull away from God for, those things that the enemy knows about us that we like in the natural that might tempt us to do this. He'll put pressure in that area of your life to see if you'll cave, to yes. see if you'll make an exception this time.
Yes.
To see if, well, since nobody's watching or since it really doesn't affect anybody else except me, I'll go ahead and do it this time. Praise the Lord. An entire chapter in Proverbs mm-hmm. is about how wisdom stands and watches person after person get pulled away.
Right.
From wisdom, from uprightness, from God. Because he ends the chapter by saying, if you fall for this, your trip is going to go downward
yeah.
instead of upward.
Yeah.
I understand as believers, once we're saved, thank God mm-hmm. we're saved.
Yeah.
But I don't want to live hell on earth
right.
when I could be living heaven on earth.
That's right. Right. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And he who steps over and purposely crosses into sin lacks sense. Yes.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah. Yes. True. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So much more we can say, but we're going to have to end it on this joyful, happy note today. But let's go back real quick to 2 Peter again, chapter 1, before we dismiss. 2 Peter 1, verse 8. After he lists these seven qualities that we're to make every effort to add to our faith, he says in verse 8, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ."
That's right.
Yeah.
Why do we talk about some of these things and why does it get a little heavy or a little serious? Because these things matter.
They do.
Because the reason we're here on earth is to bear fruit. To reach the world, and we can't reach the world if we look just like the world.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got to have some moral excellence
Amen.
About
yes.
us.
Yes.
Father, thank you today for your word. We love all of your word. We love every part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Help us see those areas that we could add to our faith. Help us see where we can come up in our integrity. Spotlight those things for us. Help us to know them. Lord, we understand we don't do these things just on our own. We make the effort to add these things, but you, your grace, is what helps us stand.
Yes.
And so we thank you for your grace today. We thank you for your help today to walk in the integrity you've called us to.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.